conference will be.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of Idaho is now in session pursuant to law.
Thank you very much. Please be seated and good morning. We welcome you to the Idaho Supreme Court sitting today at the University of Idaho Boise campus. We're very pleased to be here and appreciate the hospitality and welcome we've received thus far from the university. We're looking forward to hearing three cases here at the law school today, the first of which is entitled Bearcrest Limited LLC versus the State of Idaho, case number 50840. Now, in this matter, the appellants are Bearcrest Limited LLC, Michael Ferguson, and Yellowstone Bear World Incorporated. They're represented by Scott M. Lilja, as well as Andrew Rawlings, who is appearing only. The respondents are the Idaho Department of Transportation, represented by Gary Luke, and assisted with Tim Thomas, appearing only. Counsel, do either of you have any preliminary matters for the court prior to argument today?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lilja, then, you may proceed, sir.
Thank you. May it please the court, and good morning. My name is Scott Lilja, and I, together with Andrew Rawlings, represent the plaintiffs and appellants in this matter. As you mentioned, those are Michael Ferguson and his companies, Yellowstone Bear World and Bearcrest Limited. The plaintiffs below made claims against ITD for breach of contract and inverse condemnation based on the closure of an intersection of Highway 20 and County Road 4300. Excuse me. The court dismissed those claims on cross motions for summary judgment, granting ITD's motion as to both claims and denying the partial summary judgment filed by plaintiffs with regard to their contract claim. Yellowstone Bear World and Bearcrest are corporate entities, and they are owned and managed by Michael Ferguson. And Bearcrest and Mr. Ferguson own 10 acres, 10 parcels of property that are at issue in this case. And those are leased by Yellowstone Bear World for the operation of its business. All of that property was owned by Mr. Ferguson and Bearcrest and leased to Yellowstone Bear World as of October 24, 2016, which is when the intersection was closed. Among those 10 parcels, there are three parcels which were formerly owned by the Gideons. And in 1973, ITD undertook Project F6471 Perrins 40 to expand Highway 20 and make Highway 20 a limited access highway. To accomplish the goals of the project, ITD and the Gideons reached an agreement under which, as reflected in the Gideon deed itself and the right-of-way contract, ITD purchased 7 acres of property required to construct the new intersection of Highway 20 and County Road 4300, which is shown in Exhibit C to our brief. ITD also purchased all access rights to Highway 20 from the Gideon's remaining contiguous property. That sale of access rights to Highway 20 was limited, however, by the phrase, except for access to the County Road connection.
Mr. Lilja, yes. I just want to clarify what the Gideons conveyed. And so when I look at the 7 acres,
sure,
it looks like it's a strip along Highway 20.
Correct.
And then it wraps up, and the rest of it was used to create what is depicted as the Bear Creek access on the 2011 survey that your clients got when they purchased some property from the Gideons. Is that accurate?
I believe so. Yes, there was some property that was purchased along the border of the property next to the highway to expand the highway. And then, as you say, it wrapped in to give the ITD property with which to create this, what they later called the Bear World Access.
Sorry.
The intersection of Highway 20 and County Road 4.
And so can I just one more clarification to make sure I'm understanding? So we have Highway 20, we have County Road 4300, and they used part of what they purchased to connect County Road 4300 to Highway 20.
They used part of what they purchased to build that access on the property they had purchased from the beginning.
And so there was, prior to this purchase, prior to this project, there was no road or spur or whatever you want to call it that connected County Road 4300 to Highway 20.
Not in that location. There was one slightly south of there. It had previously kind of angled into the highway, and they closed that and built this in its place.
Okay. Thank you.
So what's now being referred to as Bear World Road, is that a relatively recent development?
Bear World Road, yes. That was built in 2019, so 3 years after they closed the Bear World connection.
I'm assuming that was an accommodation from the county to help your clients out?
It was a project. It was not really done in conjunction with my client. They just determined to do that. Okay. In the ruling below, the court stated that the Gideon deed was unambiguous as to the meaning of the contract provision and appears to have recognized that this provision and the deed generally was a conveyance to ITD related to Highway 20. But the court then found that the phrase, except for access to the county road connection, meant simply access to a county road. So under the ruling, Gideons were conveying all access rights from their remaining contiguous property to Highway 20. The court found the Gideons retained from those access rights no access right to Highway 20, but rather access to a county road. But the court also found that the Gideons could not obligate the state to ensure access to the county road. And therefore, based on the court's ruling, the court found that the Gideons had, quote, reserved a right of access that never really existed, close quote. I submit it makes more sense to find ITD granted a right it had the authority to grant, and not a right it had no authority to grant. Plaintiffs assert their claims based on property rights created by the contract between the ITD and the Gideons concerning access reserved in the Gideon deed. They contend the deed, in the phrase, except for the county road connection reserved from the Gideons transfer of Highway 20 access rights, the right to the county road connection of County Road 4300 and Highway 20. Faircrest and Yellowstone Bear World also assert an abutting landowner claim in inverse condemnation for the taking of their access by closure of the intersection.
Mr. Lilcher, let me, one more clarification.
Sure.
Closure of that intersection,
yes.
Is that road, spur, whatever, that they built connecting 4300 to Highway 20, is that closed as well?
That is closed.
Okay.
In 2016, October 24, 2016, they shut that. Court below based its ruling on the Gideon deed being unambiguous as to the provision it issued and determined that it unambiguously meant simply access to a county road. Did not determine whether the provisions are reasonably susceptible to conflicting interpretations, as would be required to determine ambiguity. And neither did the court below follow the well-accepted rule of construction that in construing a written instrument, the court must consider it as a whole and give meaning to all provisions of the writing to the extent possible. The Gideon deed identified itself as part of the Highway 20 project 6471 parens 40. Exhibit A to the deed states that it is a parcel of land on the northwesterly side of the center line of U.S. Highways 191 and 20, Project F6471, for Ince 40. It incorporates the survey on record with ITD with regard to that project. Specifically, the transfer property was required, as we've discussed, to expand the highway and also to build that county road connection between 4300 and Highway 20. And that's shown in Exhibit C, which are the construction drawings from ITD, and they also have some notes on them that were placed there by my surveying.
Before we get too much further, you noted that the court found that the deed was unambiguous. Do you concur that it's unambiguous?
Well, the court did not find that it was unambiguous. The court said that I agreed it was unambiguous.
I being the court or yourself?
I being me.
Okay.
Well, let's straighten that out. Did you agree?
No.
Your position is that it is ambiguous?
Yes. Based upon the two conflicting interpretations that have been put forth, yes, I believe that.
So I'm trying to make sense of that because I thought it was your position that it was unambiguous because the language in the deed refers to the county road connection. It capitalizes county road exception as if it was a thing, and it calls it the. The judge in his order said it referenced a county road.
Correct.
And so my understanding was your argument was it unambiguously was referring to this point, but that's not your argument?
Well, that would be my argument, but the court took that as a concession that it is absolutely unambiguous. Obviously, I argued extrinsic evidence, meaning I believe it could be interpreted either way.
So were you arguing in the alternative then? That,
yes, absolutely. But we did not ever, you know, agree that, yes, this is unambiguous. The court should determine this based on it being unambiguous. What the court referred to was a section of our reply brief where we were actually talking about an argument that was made that the access through the county road connection should somehow be restricted to the parcels of property that were contiguous at the time. And we said, unambiguously, the deed does not contain any such restriction. So that's what the court was citing to in terms of our concession.
So do you think it's necessary for us to rely on extrinsic evidence to get to the result you're trying to reach?
I don't believe it's necessary. But if you accept the court's reasoning below, it may be necessary to look at extrinsic evidence because I'm not sure that based on the court's reasoning below, you could reach the correct result.
Do we need the background information in order to connect the county road connection to the Highway 4300, Highway 20 intersection?
I don't believe so. And I'll tell you why. In the reservation of access, it was included in the transfer of, quote, all rights of access between the right-of-way of said project and the remaining contiguous real property belonging to grantors from the Gideons to ITD. They're transferring in that provision access rights to Highway 20. The only thing that's being transferred in that provision. And so if you are transferring access rights, and then you are accepting from that transfer one piece, they also have to be access rights to Highway 20. And I visualize it as a circle, and placing in that circle all of the rights that are being transferred under this provision, all of those rights would be rights to access to Highway 20. If I pull one piece out of that, it's got to be a right of access to Highway 20. It can't possibly be a right of access to a county road, because none of those are the rights that are being transferred in that provision.
Of course, the other side would say you're not being denied access to US 20. You're just not being allowed the convenient and shorter access that you desire.
That's what they would say. And if we were bringing this strictly as an abutting landowner, I agree with that analysis. That you would need to look at, you know, what is the access, what was the access, what is the access now, and is there substantial impairment? Okay, that would be the analysis. But if they're taking a right that they contractually entered into, I don't have to go to that analysis because they took my property.
Do we need extrinsic evidence to understand what that county road connection is? And what I mean is, and maybe it's not an issue here, but where is it? What does it look like? How wide is it? You know, what is the scope, in other words, of the access?
Well, if you look at Exhibit 3 to our brief, it has the construction drawings. It shows where it's located. It shows how big it is. It shows, you know, all of those things you just talked about. But yes, that's not in the deed itself. So to describe it, and it is described in the legal description attached to the deed.
Show me that. What is described in the deed?
Oh, if you look at the last page of the deed, there's a legal description.
Yeah, I've got it.
And that legal description describes the 7 acres that were taken by ITD. So that
right,
describes.
But the access, does it describe the access?
It describes the land that was purchased to construct the access, yes. And if you look at the drawings, that is the land that is described in the deed itself. So can you just rely on the deed? Well, if you happen to be a surveyor and can read that description, yes. They'll tell you exactly what that access was. But from our standpoint, in order to translate that, looking at Exhibit 3 actually translates what that looks like.
Within the 7 acres that the Gideons deeded to ITD or its predecessor, was there any other county road connection that was going to be made?
No.
And
that's in the expert report of our surveyor, Mr. Thomas.
And the previous, I don't know if it would be a county road connection, but you said there was a previous exit, for want of a better term, off Highway 20,
yeah,
south of the property. Was that within the 7 acres?
No.
That was someone else's property?
South of it.
Okay, thank you.
And so let me ask you, this is my struggle with your argument about direct access to Highway 20. So when I look at this deed, it conveys 7 acres.
Right.
It also conveys the rights of access within the 7 acres, except for the right to access the county road connection.
Right.
Clearly, I'm not going to say clearly. I read it as, of course they want access to the county road connection because they want to get on the highway
from
there. They don't want to have to go out another part of their property, access another county road, and come around to get on it. But the deed just says access to the county road connection. That was why I asked earlier, is what they built open or closed? So how do I jump from, I want to be able to use this county road connection you're going to build with my property,
right,
to you're giving me the right to get on the highway there?
I don't think it's a jump. I think that's exactly what the exception did. If it weren't for the need to create a contract right to that access, they wouldn't have had to do any of this. They could have just conveyed their access rights along their abutting property. The county road connection would have been there, and they, as a member of the public, could have used that access. But they didn't want that right. What they wanted was a contractual right so that they could use this county road access as their access to the highway. They needed that access. They have property on the other side of the highway.
Well, let's be clear for the benefit of our audience here. The
sure.
grantee on this deed was who?
The grantor was Gideon's, the grantee was ITD.
That's right. So when they retained that exception,
right,
that was so that the property owner of that parcel would have access to US 20 at the location described as the county road connection.
Correct.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, it's this, the fact of what these rights were and what was being transferred is made abundantly clear by the finding of the court below that ITD had no authority to grant access to a county road. So, but ITD did own the county road connection. They bought it from the Gideons, and they constructed it on that property they acquired from the Gideons. And they did have authority to grant access to Highway 20, which is exactly what they did.
And I presume that's also why they had authority to close it when they moved the interchange.
Well, you know, obviously the government always has authority to take property rights for the public, and that's what they did to make this a controlled access highway.
And my point is that ITD closed that connection, the county did not. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's true, because it was theirs. The court below, and, you know, as I say, the Gideons had property on the other side of the road. They needed that access to get to the other side of the road in order to access their other property. The court's interpretation takes a specific reference, the county road connection, and turns it into a general reference, any county road, and reads the word connection out of it, which is, of course, not in compliance with rules of construction. And finally, the district court interpreted this contract based on an erroneous conclusion that the Gideon property in 1973 had no direct access to Highway 20, but could only access the highway through the county road. There was no transfer of any access rights prior to 1973. And it was required as part of the F6471-40 project that ITD acquire those rights, acquire those access rights in connection with that project. And that's precisely what they did in this deed. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. If there are no more questions.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Luke.
Thank you, Justice Devin. May it please the court, my name is Gary Luke. I'm counsel for the Idaho Transportation Department, and I'm here to talk about the county road connection, what that meant in 1973. Now, ultimately, of course, I'm asking that this court affirm the district court's decision in its entirety. That includes affirming dismissal of breach of contract claim and the inverse condemnation claim. But it's become increasingly clear that perhaps the most efficient way to get there is to focus on the term county road connection. Responding briefly to Justice Zahn, I would assert that the county road connection is still open and available and in use as of this day. The intersection with the Highway 20 has been closed, but the county road connection is still open, contrary to the statement made by Mr. Lilja.
And so let me ask you about that, Mr. Luke, because I know it's not in the record, but I took a look at Google Earth preparing for the argument, and County Road 4300, it's paved all along. That connection is not paved. And so was it ever paved before the 2016 closure of the intersection?
I believe most of the connection still is paved, Your Honor. I do believe that there was a cul-de-sac installed right at the previous intersection with the highway. But I believe most of it is still paved as it was previously. I've not looked on Google Earth in the last couple of days to verify that, but it's my understanding that that is still paved.
Is there anything in the record that would help us determine whether that connection is open or closed?
I believe you can look at the maps that were submitted as part of the briefing. I believe I can show you further about the county road connection and what that term means in my further argument there. But again, it's my understanding that at least to the turnoff from the county road connection into appellate's property, that is still paved as it was previously.
So what is the connection? I'm anticipating your argument. Yes, please.
May I? I'd first like to describe it verbally. Then I'd like to point to that connection in the legal description. And then I'd like to point to some of the sketches or maps that derive from the legal description and show where that is.
So
if I could.
Before you do so, I just want to clarify. In your briefing below, you referred to the deed as a misleading distraction, as a frivolous red herring, and as an irrelevant misdirection. It seems like your position has evolved a little bit on that, given that that's all we talked about for the first portion of the presentation here today.
Your Honor, and thank you. And I was focused at that time that, there was a separate Nelson deed, and that only a few of the properties had been ever owned by the Gideons, and that when Bear Crest, Bear World opened in 1998, they owned no property that had ever been owned by the Gideons. So that's what I was focusing on, is that, hey, the Gideon deed is what it is, but it's not critical when you look at the 10 parcels, when you look at the various plaintiffs, now appellates. It is a distraction from really the property that is being operated on. Now, the district court went with, cut to the chase. District court said, regardless of these other arguments that Mr. Luke is making, I can resolve this on the basis of the Gideon deed because it does not provide the access that appellates claim it provides. I'm comfortable with the district court's decision on that. I agree with the district court's decision on that. I think the district court was correct in pointing out repeatedly that there's no mention of highway in there. If I may, let me describe the county road connection. County road connection is a 350-foot long section of new pavement as of 1973, new pavement, new road segment that the state constructed as part of the 1970s highway improvement project to connect a relocated intersection with an existing county road. Let me step back slightly. The project in 1970 at the high level was the improvement or expansion of Highway 20 from North Rigby to the Thornton area. That was an expansion of 2 lanes to 4 lanes. That was an improvement by taking an undivided highway and making a divided highway. But in that project, there were 3 relevant components. There were the 2 lanes of highway that were built, as Justice Zahn mentioned and pointed out previously. There was highway intersections that were either reconstructed or relocated. They all had to be reconstructed just because it was now a divided highway. Some of them were relocated. The third component, for those intersections that were relocated, there had to be connecting segments built to connect any new relocated intersections with the existing local or county roads. Obviously, a relocated intersection is not going to function without connection to the existing system. For the Gideons, that segment, arm or spur, was constructed between the relocated intersection and the county road. This new segment, about as long as a football field, was and is the county road connection. Now, I've said I'd like to describe it verbally.
Just so I'm clear,
please, Justice Mueller.
And, of course, as you know, this is located in my backyard, at least my former backyard, so to speak. I must have driven by this area, and I remember what it was like in the early 70s. It wasn't the 2 lanes of highway going both ways. It was just a fairly narrow road with 2 lanes, one going one way, one going the other. So the failure to reference US 20 as a highway, there really wasn't much difference between the makeup of the county road and the connection of the 350 feet that was put in and then the actual road that it was a spur to, was there?
I don't believe the case. It would still have been a designated US highway at that point. It still would have carried the majority of traffic in that area at that time. It still would have been distinguished from the county road as far as who had jurisdiction, ownership over it, and jurisdiction over it.
But in appearance and function, it wouldn't have been much different than any of the other connecting county roads, would there?
Until the 1973 expansion project, that might be the case. After the 1973 expansion project, with the extra lanes of traffic, then yes, it would have been quite distinct from any other roads in that area. I provided to the court, and I believe you have before it, a copy of the legal description that's in the record. I'm looking at page 266 from the record. This is the Schedule A. This is the legal description that is attached to the rest of the Gideon deed. And I've highlighted a couple points. Obviously, A surveyor could walk through it and see every movement that is made on this. But I've highlighted a couple of relevant points. I've highlighted the real point at the beginning. That is where the surveyor gets to the initial point on the Gideon's property that was going to be transferred to the state. So that's where it starts. I've highlighted down there the reference to a line of 3,042 feet. That's the long stretch that runs along the previous highway, about two-thirds of a mile. And then I've highlighted there, thence north, gives the degrees and remainder of the description, 340 feet to a point to the easterly right-of-way of an existing north-south county road. What I want to do here is I want to show that it's, you know, I need to stay within the four corners of the Gideon deed. The legal description obviously is part of those four corners of the Gideon deed. And what I want to point to here is that is where the Gideons are transferring this arm, this spur, this county road connection spot from themselves to the state. I said it was a 350-foot long stretch because of turns and stuff. That's approximate. But here is a reference to one side of that county road connections property being transferred from the Gideons to the state. And based on that, we have a basis in the deed within the four corners to understand what was going on back in 1973 and to understand where that county road connection is and why that's when reservation of access was maintained to the county road connection. We can see from this that that's where it would be. Third, I want to point to, next I want to point to a couple of documents that help us visualize. And again, the sketches, the maps of this area, arguably those are extrinsic evidence. And so I don't use those as the basis. I do think they help us all visualize what was going on here. Mr. Lilja referenced attachment C to their briefing. It can be seen there. I've also provided the court a copy of page 291, which is in the record. That is a really good description or a really good visualization of the property that is described in the legal description that was being transferred from the Gideons to the state. And that shows all three parts that I talked about previously. That shows, and just to be clear, the Gideon property is what is shown in red there. It looks like in the 1970s they literally colored it in with a colored pencil. But that shows the property being sold by the Gideons to the state, space for the two new lanes of highway. That's the long section there. And then we have that little hook that there at the end. That is the 344 feet on the one side there, connecting point to go from the new intersection to the county road. And you can even see on page 291 there that the county road is the existing county road is shown there. It is a north-south road, and you can observe how that extra property, that little spur or slice there, how that was obtained by the state and how that was there to provide the connecting point between the new intersection and the existing county road. Now, point to note in response to another thing that Mr. Lilja brought up, why could ITD or the state of Idaho at that time point, why could ITD grant access to that connecting point? Well, they purchased that property from the Gideons. Purchased the long red line, they purchased the little hook there on the end from the Gideons. They owned that property and had constructed on that property the county road connection. So they could reserve that access to the Gideons because at that time, the state of Idaho was the property owner. Subsequently, that county road connection was transferred to Madison County. It became the extension of Madison County Road 4300.
I'm confused for just a second. Maybe you can help clear things up for me. ITD was the grantee on the deed, correct?
That is correct.
So how could they be granting anything back to the grantors, the Gideons, weren't the Gideons actually, in essence, reserving that unto themselves, not having it granted to them by ITD?
That is correct, Justice Mueller. Grantors were the Gideons. Grantors gave up all of their access rights to the project. The project was the new lanes. The project was this connecting line. Gideons gave up all their access rights to the project boundaries from their contiguous property, except for access to the county road connection. And that's what we're looking at here with that little hook on the tail end of page 291 here. That is the county road connection, so, and that's where they deserve access.
Suggests that the ITD granted anything back to the Gideons would be incorrect, right? They were had reserved it to themselves all along.
Yes, it was a reservation.
Okay.
Of all other access rights. All access rights were transferred with that one reservation or exception.
So what does connection mean? What is it a connection to?
It is a connection of the intersection that was on ITD's Division of Highways property at that time. It was a connection from there to the existing county road, 24300. Now it subsequently became, once the property was transferred to Madison County after the project was completed, it subsequently was transferred to Madison County and was numbered as the tail end of County Road 4300.
So that question kind of leads into where I'd like to focus for just a moment, if I might, Mr. Luke, and that is the district court's interpretation of the deed. The language in the deeds refers to the exception, as or a reservation, if you will, as being access to the, not a, the county road connection. And county road connection is all capitalized as if it's a thing, not generic. A couple paragraphs later in the district court's decision, it concludes, the reference is to a county road. And I'm just wondering, isn't there a difference between the county road exception, all in capitals, and a county road, county capitalized, but road not? It seems to me that the district court's statement diminishes what the plain language of the deed appeared to be attempting to do. And in other words, making it look like it was just some generic, amorphous, undescribed county road, whereas the deed appears to me at least to be discussing something specific, a county road, all in capitals.
Justice Mueller, I would agree with you. But what I take from the district court's decision, I think the most important thing from the district court's decision is mention of highway intersection, direct access to the highway. Those terms are not found in the Gideon deed. There is that one reservation. It is to the county road connection. Ultimately, that did become a Madison County road. Perhaps the district court was a bit casual in that reference. But I think the district court ultimately stayed true to the four corners of the document, to the language that is in the deed, by referencing that was the one reservation to access that was being transferred.
Well, I don't understand why that's a reasonable interpretation when this is a deed between the Gideons and the state. That is to say, the Gideons don't need, or the state can't guarantee access to a county road through a reservation deed between the state and the Gideons. The state doesn't have any control over that county road at all. What the Gideons need, it seems to me, in the deed between them and the state is access to the state highway, which the state is now taking away from them.
And I think the district court, in my mind, addressed that by, again, focusing on whether there was a reference to highway there, pointing out that there was no reference to highway or anything related to highway there.
But how is that? This whole project is about highway. I mean, you talk about in Schedule A that you provided, it's talking about highways 191 and 20 and project number F647140. This is about a state highway, not about a county road.
Thank you, Mrs. Brody. This is about a state highway and intersections and connections with that state highway. Obviously, as we created a divided highway, some intersections didn't work at the previous locations. As mentioned before, previously Madison County Road 4300 went further south intersected at a different point. That was no longer workable when we had a divided highway. Part of owning and operating the highway is owning and is dealing with access and connections to that highway. So yes, it was a state highway project. Yes, that's what it was about. But when we moved that intersection, we also needed to obtain property to deal with that intersection being functional. For that intersection to be functional, we had to have a connecting point to the existing county road. Now, could ITD grant access to a county road? No, that would be Madison County. But could they grant access to this county road connection that they had just obtained property for, that they had just constructed this 350-foot stretch of road on, that they were going to subsequently transfer to Madison County, subject to this reservation of access? Yes, ITD could do that, or the state, excuse me. ITD was a few years later. The state could do that as part of the project. And again, that's what just dealing with the highway is always going to mean dealing with how people are getting to and from the highway.
Which is the Gideon's point, isn't it? Isn't that the Gideon's point, that they need a connection to the highway, not just to the county road spur? They always had access to the county road, didn't they? They didn't really need any kind of reservation or exception to get their have access from the remaining parcel, and it was a big parcel, to County Road 4300, correct?
I believe they could have accessed County Road 4300 elsewhere.
Would they need access to the connection, getting to Highway 20?
50-year-old Gideon deed, as you know, what it says, respectfully, is access to the county road connection. I believe we can show where that stretch is. Why that was acceptable to the Gideons at that time, I don't know. But I think we would be adding language, as the district court was concerned with, if we said it was something else. If we did say it was direct access to the highway or something like that.
Doesn't, though, the district court's opinion, I'm looking at the next page, I've been referring to pages 3 and 4 of the memorandum decision. On page 5, there's some reasoning that touches on your answer to Justice Brody's question earlier that seems kind of specious to me. The district court said correctly that Madison County was not a party. Therefore, the court concluded that theoretically the county could have closed the road. Thus, the deed reserved a right that never existed. Accordingly, the court finds that the 73 Gideon deed did not preclude the state from eliminating an intersection. I don't understand that reasoning at all, that just because the county, who was not a party, could have eliminated the road, that meant that the state wasn't bound by what they had agreed, which was apparently access to the only road the state had control over, which was US 20.
Thank you, Justice Mulder. There are parts of the district court's decision that are challenging for me, and that happens to be one of them. I think ultimately the district court focusing on is there mention to access to the highway, direct access to the highway. I think that's the critical component. I'm not certain. I believe there would be an objection from Mr. Littlejohn and his clients if Madison County said we're no longer providing access via the Madison County Road 4300 or this county road connection that was constructed back in 1973. I believe if the county closed that, Bear World would object to that. Now, is that critical
and
for resolving this?
But before you get to that.
Thank you.
My struggle with his decision is it is equal, when I read it, it is equal parts. The deed doesn't say highway, and it's just any connection to the county road. He needs, when I read his decision, he needs both of those. It's his failure to identify, we're talking about this particular county road connection, and his failure to grapple with what does that mean that seems fatal to the decision. Because ultimately his conclusion is, as long as you have access anywhere to a county road, you have what was reserved in the deed. And I think I've heard you today concede, no, what was reserved was access to this
county road connection. He never concludes that, and he never grapples with that. And so when I read his decision, it's based just as much on you have access to a county road, so you got what you reserved. And it just strikes me that's wrong. That's wrong. And so if you correctly identify it's this county road connection, you have to then analyze the argument that why else would we reserve access to this if we weren't seeking to reserve. What goes along with that is access to the intersection to Highway 20.
Thank you. Challenging question. No doubt district court perhaps was casual on some of their language, on some of his language. I still think, I think that's why it's important for me to focus on county road connection in front of this body, is because, again, I believe that that was there. I believe that that's where access was reserved back in 1973. I believe shortly thereafter it did become a county road, and so perhaps the district court was casual in its language, but practically speaking, that's where access was provided to the Gideons. That's where access was available to present appellates. And that's the same place access is still available to present appellates today.
Well, let me ask my question differently. What other reason would the state have in 1973 to condemn that or purchase? I guess it wasn't technically a condemnation. It was a negotiated purchase. What other reason would the state have to purchase that spur other than to create an intersection with Highway 20?
The intersection was going to be built. The intersection had to be relocated. It was going to be built at that area. And the intersection has no value as a intersection to get vehicles to and from without a connecting point, without a county road connection between that intersection and the existing county road.
When did US 20 in this area become a controlled highway?
2016 is when there was the move from at-grade intersections to separate grade intersections, and intersections being, again, relocated.
So doesn't it make sense then from 1973 until 2016, the purpose of ITD acquiring that property was to allow access at that point?
The purpose of ITD, but that doesn't mean that was what was reserved by the Gideons in the Gideon deed. And again, I think the district court was right here in saying to say there was access reserved to the highway, that's simply not there. That would be adding language to this 50-year-old deed and making that point. Was there access reserved to the county road connection by the Gideons? Yes, there was. Were appellants able to use that when they constructed their facility? Yes, they were. Can they use that today? Yes, they can.
So when was the first time, because apparently from 1973 for a considerable period of time, ITD's behavior was consistent with the appellant's view of what rights they had. At some point in time, it became clear that ITD was taking a different position. When did that occur?
ITD always said the intersection was theirs to use and move if needed. ITD never said there was a deeded, dedicated right of access between the Gideons property and the highway.
So that's what I was getting at then. It wouldn't be fair to say everything changed in 2016. Your position of what you owned and what they owned was made clear much earlier than that?
That's correct.
When was it apparent that you and the Fergusons and their entities were at loggerheads on really what was going to happen here?
I can't give you an exact time on that, Justice Mueller. Mm-hmm. I do know that there were efforts made in the decade prior to revisiting to doing another expansion and improvement project on Highway 20. I do know that project took place in 2015, 2016.
And just having lived there, I'm not trying to introduce evidence from outside the record, just my recollection of living in that neighborhood, so to speak, within miles of it, but was that this had been going on for decades.
Yes. Yes. I mean, obviously, it started closer to Idaho Falls and moved up in stages, and so there was, by the 2016 timeframe, that's when, again, North Raby to Thornton was being revisited, and again, access points were being dealt with at that time. And again, we were moving from at-grade intersections to.
And this is pretty par for the course. Anytime a highway is becoming a controlled highway and you're having to cut off access that had existed for generations.
This is completely par for the course in that situation, yes.
So, Mr. Lucas, sorry, before you run out of time, I want to give you a chance to address the inverse condemnation claim. And in particular, their argument that, I mean, set aside the deed, that this cutting off the direct access to the highway, moving the intersection, the interchange down the road, constitutes a substantial impairment.
I don't believe we need to get there, Justice Dunn. Because, again, 1973, whatever access rights the Gideons had to the highway were taken. Whatever access rights they had to the project, but for connection to the county road, were transferred to the state is the better answer there. So, do we need to get into substantial impairment if those rights have already been, were already transferred from the Gideons to the state back in 1963? I don't think we need to. Their briefing starts their budding landowner argument by referencing that, hey, we have these properties that the Gideons used to own, and these properties that the Gideons used to own are up against this intersection. My point there is, well, that means all those access rights, but the reserved access to the county road connection, were already transferred to the state. So I don't think we need to get into substantial impairment. I don't think we need to go down that route. If we do go down that route, there's a number of cases from this court where the court talks about a landowner is not entitled to their most convenient. They're not entitled to access to every single road that they happen to abut up against. They're entitled to appropriate access, but it could be more circuitous. It could be more indirect. That's the access that appellates still have to this day.
And my struggle is, when you've got several miles, how is there not a genuine issue? And arguably, I mean, they put in an expert report that said this is seriously impacting our revenue and our business. How is there not a genuine issue of material fact?
We stressed to the court that there had to be a determination of taking before any discussion of damages was appropriate.
And so did you seek to delay, or did you seek to bifurcate your expert witness disclosure?
We did. We filed a motion to bifurcate, and then we filed, late in the game, we filed a motion for a determination by the court as to the taking. And that particularly was relevant because there were 10 parcels, 7 of which had never been owned by the Gideons. We had 3 different plaintiffs at that time, one of which was just a leasee, one of which never owned any property that was owned by the Gideons. We wanted and asked for the district court's input on, was there a taking, and if so, what was the scope of the taking before we were able to look into the issue of damages.
And so, did the district court rule on those motions before the expert deadline passed?
No, the district court had those motions under advisement, and as part of its decision said, I don't need to deal with those anymore because I read the Gideon deed, I look at it, I don't see any reference to access to the highway, direct access to the highway, or anything like that.
So had the expert witness disclosure deadline passed by the time the district court issued its decision granting summary judgment?
I know our motion for bifurcation and motion to have a determination of taking was in before any such deadlines had passed.
Right, your motion was in, but if the deadline passes and you don't have an order on the motion, you didn't submit anything in opposition.
Standing today, I can't give you the exact time frames on that.
And so I come back to with their expert witness disclosure and having several miles additional travel, how is there not a genuine issue of material fact on whether this substantially impacted them?
And we did have expert disclosures that were submitted before then. We did stress that damages could not be looked at until there was a determination as to the scope of the take. And so we didn't let a deadline in that sense go past. We were looking for court direction on that so that we could address damages. Now, how is that not substantial impairment. It's not substantial impairment if the state already acquired those access rights back in the 1970s. I believe that, that's what happened, and I believe that there was no reservation of rights that would then still come into play as of 2016.
But the state acquired them for a particular purpose, to provide this intersection, and then that purpose changed.
In 1973?
In 2016, when the state went ahead and closed the intersection. So for purposes of the inverse condemnation claim, I'm just trying to figure out, how does all of that not raise a genuine issue of material fact? I understand your argument that the state had obtained the property, we'd paid for it, we'd done our thing. My point is, when you have that substantial of a change in the use of the adjoining land, help me understand how there's no potential inverse condemnation claim there.
I would say, the inverse condemnation claim always comes back to the Gideon deed. Some of it is explicit.
Assume we disagree with the state's position.
Thank you. I'd say that. This court has concluded many times that substantial impairment is only relevant if there is an actual taking, and that's kind of what I have to hang my hat on that, is that there was no determination that there was a taking. There was one-sided claims that there was substantial impairment, but the district judge, as an alternative aspect, right at the tail end of their decision, looked at that and said, it may be more circuitous, but it's not excessive. It's not extreme. The district court said, I don't believe that there is a taking.
Very well, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Justice Bennett.
Madam Clerk, how much time does the appellant have remaining? Thank you.
I apologize if I look a little gimpy leaving here. I've got a back condition that makes my legs go numb. So if I fall over, you'll know why. That was quite confusing for me. In the court below, ITD's position was that this reference was to a county road, as found by the district court. Today, Mr. Luke appears to be agreeing with me that the reference to the county road connection is, in fact, the intersection of County Road 4300 and Highway 20. Now, he says that, but they sold all their access. Well, no. They sold their access except for that specific point of access, and they retained that. They had access. They were an abutting landowner along that entire stretch of their property. They had property. They had rights of access based on being an abutting landowner. And the High Boise case says that very explicitly. And so ITD, if they wanted that point of access that the Gideons had, they had to buy it. But they didn't. That was accepted from what they were buying. So I believe that we're in agreement.
And so do we rule as a matter of law then for your client?
Yes.
Is that where we are?
Yes. I believe our motion for partial summary judgment should be granted. What we ask is that the court determine that that is the meaning of the contract, and that in closing the access, the contract was breached. The only thing remaining would be an assessment of the damages, which would be a matter for a jury. And I believe that would also establish the taking of a property right, if that contract is established. And then we would have a determination of damages with regard to inverse condemnation, which would still need to go to a jury.
Where the district court hasn't ruled on the issue, on the takings claim, hasn't dealt with, I'll call it, the relative positions of the parties regarding their ability to pursue these claims and the scope of those claims. Is that something that this court would weigh in on at this juncture?
I think based on the undisputed facts of record, yes. Yes. I think that, you know, it's interesting when you talked about substantial return and, you know, the inverse condemnation claim of an abutting landowner, all of the facts that go to that are undisputed. It's undisputed that there was damage done to the property of the appellants. It's undisputed that there was a between 6.2 and 11 mile circuitous route from 2016 to 17. After that, it was 5.78 miles. That compares with 4.5 miles in Nelson Sand and Gravel. So those undisputed facts would lead to a determination as a matter of law that this was a substantial impairment. So yes, I think the court could weigh in on that. There was a question about record as to whether the access was open or closed. And in fact, it was closed, and the record site for that is Mr. Ferguson's declaration, which is at R207 to 209, paragraph 14, which is also undisputed. With regard to the damages question, Mr. Luke said, well, I wasn't clear on his response to the question of, did you ask the court to extend the time for expert witness reports? The answer to that question is no, he did not. We objected to what they filed. He didn't respond to the objection. They did not submit anything from any expert that refuted the damages that my client had sustained. Neither did they refute anything Mr. Thompson said with regard to the survey.
Did you say that the state did not refute the damages that were submitted by the plaintiff?
No, they have not. There was also a, trying to find this in my notes. There was a statement made that this county road connection is somehow distinct from other county road connections. In the drawings for the construction documents for the Clinton Interchange project at record 268, they talk about county road connection. And from that document, it appears that anytime you have an intersection of a county road and a highway, that's a county road connection. And there were a bunch of them that were involved in that project in 2016, including this particular one. And they closed them all. But the difference here is this one, the Gideons had actually reserved their property right to that access. Now, Mr. Luke gave some information about what was constructed on that property and everything else. I don't believe there's anything in the record that talks about that, but clearly there was an intersection connected, which was closed. He also, he talked about the property being transferred to Madison County, that was purchased from the Gideons by ITD and then transferred to Madison County. There's actually nothing in the record that establishes any transfer to Madison County. But assuming it was transferred, the idea that Madison County could then close a highway interchange, I think that ITD would have that control. I don't think Madison County has that control. Particularly where you have property that is encumbered with this right of access to the county road connection. And I believe, Justice Mueller, you were absolutely correct in determining we're not talking about ITD transferring a right. We're talking about the Gideons retaining a right. As an abutting landowner, they had a right. They had a right to access Highway 20. And when ITD came to them and said, you know, we need to take your access rights, they said, well, okay, we'll limit it to one point, but we're keeping that point. And that's exactly what they did in this case. And I think the court can make a determination that our parcel
deed.
If you believe there's an issue with regard to standing, yes, you could address that. But I think that we were pretty clear in our briefing about standing under the Dade decision, where two of five landowners had standing to bring the claim.
So as you know, standing can be raised and addressed by a court at any time.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that the briefing below is sufficient for us if we need to make a decision based on standing?
I believe so. And certainly, you know, the property from which the County Road Connection was built is the 6002 parcel, which was in 2016 and is today owned by Bear Crest and leased to Yellowstone Bear World for its business. Anyone further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, counsel, to each of you. We appreciate your argument today. This matter is now under advisement. The court will render a decision accordingly. We'll be in recess for approximately 15 minutes.
All rise.